We're thankful to have with us this morning our brother Phil Sanders. Phil is someone that I have known for a long time, but not as long as Mark Hanstein has known Phil, because Mark and Dan Owen went to Oklahoma Christian with Phil, and then my first encounter with Phil was I was preaching in Como, Mississippi. Dan Owen was preaching in Crockett, Mississippi, and in between was a city by the name of Senatobia, Mississippi, and that happened to be where Phil Sanders preached for a few years. Phil is someone that has a very impressive resume, which we don't have time to go through all of the things that he's done, but he has been involved in preacher training with the Nashville School of Preaching. He has been involved in local work like in Senatobia. And he is someone that is a prolific writer and speaker, and that's probably, if the name sounds familiar, you've heard of him. He's actually doing a gospel meeting for the Thornton Church of Christ. Dale Powers, the preacher at Thornton, is also here this morning, and you recognize Dale as one of our Bear Valley graduates. Anyway, the time tonight is 7 o'clock?
7:30.
7:30 at, what's that?
Gives you time to travel.
You got time to travel. So 7:30 at Thornton tonight, tomorrow night, and Wednesday night. Is that right?
Right.
Now, Phil is married to Jackie. They have four daughters. He has most recently been involved in, I believe, is the largest multimedia work in the Church of the Christ. Is that correct? Which, the Search for the Lord's Way out of Edmond, Oklahoma. Phil has been involved in that in for 4 years now, reaching literally millions of people through this very, very fine program. And Phil has done a terrific job with that. So we're blessed to have Phil. He's also the uncle of Jack Dodgen. Uncle is right, isn't it? Of Jack Dodgen. And Phil encouraged Jack to come to Bear Valley, and we appreciate that as well. So let's turn it over to our brother Phil Sanders. Phil, come preach to us.
Thank you, Danny. It's good to see you, Mark. And Will. Will went was a student with a number of my daughters. I think you knew most of them, but it's good to see you. And it's good to be here. It's good to know the Lord. It's good to be a Christian. Did you know that there are more Churches of Christ in America than there are Starbucks? That's true. That's true. Sometimes people think, you know, we aren't that big, but we are. And we're a lot of places, and God has blessed us, and the Lord is being good to us. A number of years ago in Chicago, there was an Oldsmobile dealership. And every Monday morning, they would gather quite early in the morning, every employee. And they had to show up that day, and they had to be there. And the owner of that dealership would ask two questions. He would ask them to every employee, and every employee had to give an answer. He would ask them first, "Who do you know that needs a new car?" And every employee had to give some answer. Now, some of them gave a silly answer, but some of them gave some pretty serious answers. But everybody had to answer the question. The second question he would ask them is, "How can we sell more Oldsmobiles?" And again, everyone had to give an answer. Now, he did that to kind of set the stage as to what they were doing in the work that they were in, and that was selling and fixing Oldsmobiles. That's what they did. And it didn't matter that you worked as an accountant or you washed the cars, you were a mechanic or you were a salesman, you had to answer that question. And it's true for every member of the church. And sometimes I think we need to ask ourselves two questions. Number one is, who do you know that needs to obey the Lord, that needs to become a Christian? And the second question is, how can we reach more people with the gospel of Jesus Christ? And what that does is helps us to focus on what we're all about. One of the questions I like to ask is, why are we doing this? Why are you going to school to become a preacher? Why do we have churches? Why do we have gospel meetings? Why do we have media ministries? Why do we have a VBS? And I think there are times when the people that you work with day in and day out need an answer to those questions. How can we reach more people? Why are we doing this? Who do we know that needs the gospel? Well, I want to give some answers to the question, why are we doing this? Why are we doing this?
The first reason is because people matter to God. Now, I hope that you will own that and not just say, oh yes, I know that. We all know the passage that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We know that. And we know that Jesus died for our sins. And we know that God loves everybody. But now let's stop and think. Does he really love every single individual? The Bible teaches that God wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. We know that. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. But have we owned it? When you look at the life of Jesus Christ, his whole life shouted that he loved everybody. When he went to eat, yes, with the tax collectors and with the sinners. But Luke 7 says he also went to Simon the Pharisee's house. When you think about Jesus, Jesus cared about children and took time to let them sit on his lap and bless them. He took time with the lepers and touched them. He took time with the two blind men at Jericho who shouted for mercy. He took time for the thief on the cross. Now, that's always been, to me, a rather interesting thing. Here's someone who had been beaten mercilessly, who'd been up all night long, who was terribly dehydrated, and who had listened to these two thieves that were on either side of him at first curse him and began to talk and revile him and be ugly to him. And finally, whenever one of them had enough, he told the other to hush. You know, we're getting what we deserve, but this man's done nothing wrong. And this man turns to Jesus and he says, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. And Jesus took the time to say to him, today you will be with me in paradise. Can you imagine how he was hurting? Can you imagine the difficulty he had? Now, if I had been Jesus on the cross and endured some things he did, I think I would have been very easily tempted to want to say, well, you guys have got a hot spot waiting on you. Or all kinds of things. But you remember that whenever he was reviled, he did not revile in return. 1 Peter 2. And that whenever he suffered, he uttered no threats. There wasn't any of that in Jesus. Why? Because he was there dying for people. And he loved every single soul. Jesus loves people who think like you and people who don't think like you. He loves people who look like you and people who don't look like you. He loves people who smell like you and people who don't smell like you. He loves everybody. And I think there are times that we miss the point whenever we think about those things and we forget that people matter to God. A second thing that I think is important is in reasoning why are we doing this is because God matters to us. God matters to us. There are so many times in life whenever we forget how important God is to us. But Jesus died for all that they who live should no longer live for themselves, but live for him who died for them and rose again in their behalf. And it's the love of Christ, it's the love of God that constrains us, that motivates us. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14 and 15. It's the love of Christ that makes us and moves us to want to say one more time what we need to say to people and to tell them the things that they need to hear in the kindest and most loving way rather than to beat them up or try to hurt them. That's what we do. We love people, but we tell them the truth because God matters to us and his word matters to us. A third reason is because people are lost. Lost. Last night we were taking some time to look at the book of Ephesians. And I think sometimes we want to downplay what it means to be lost. But Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1 says, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins. They weren't mistaken. They weren't inappropriate. They weren't sick. They were dead in their trespasses and sins. And there are people that you encounter every day that are dead in their trespasses and sins. And they're like these folks who didn't know the Lord until Paul came along and others came along. You were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that's now working in the sons of disobedience. And among them too, we all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. And I think about this situation, and that's the world that we live in. Jesus came into this world to save us from this present evil age. Galatians 1 verse 4. And I think that there are times that we forget that we live in a present evil age. And that our task in preaching the gospel is not only to save one here and to save one there, but to change lives and to make a difference in their lives so that they come to know the Lord. And they can reach others as well. In 1918, Willie and Becky came into town with their four children. The children were getting a little older. Alice was an older teenager. Elmer was 14. Oliver was about 12. And little Glenn was about 8 or 9. Willie was sick. He had been helping to clear some land where they would build a lake in the state of Oklahoma. And a tree fell on him and left a gash in his leg. But the gash wouldn't heal. He went to the doctor. The gash was not the problem. The problem was he had consumption. Consumption is what we call tuberculosis. And that was the days before penicillin and other things that they could use to treat it. And it was a death sentence. He moved to town because he needed a place to stay near the doctor. And the family came with him. He did die on September the 8th, 1918. But prior to that time, they needed a place to stay, and they looked around town for a place, and that was a time when Oklahoma was beginning to grow and housing was very limited. But they found a place in an office building on an upper floor where they could go and stay. And if they cleaned the office building, they would be allowed to live there rent-free and get a small stipend. So the family agreed to do that. And so every day the family would clean the building and do many other things. And down on the bottom floor, there was a young sweet lady named Lillian. Later on she would marry and her name would be Lillian Flincham. And she took a shine to these boys who after school every day would come in and take out the trash and sweep the floors and do everything that they were asked to do. So she brought them some food. She found out the family was really having a tough time. 6 people on a very limited salary. One day she talked to Willie and she said, "Willie, would you like to talk to a preacher?" And he said he would, and a brother Taylor came over, taught him, baptized him and Elmer and Oliver that very day. Later on, Becky and Alice were baptized, and when she got old enough, Glenn came to the Lord as well. 6 people won to the Lord because of a sweet young lady named Lillian Flincham. When I get to heaven, I want to see the majesty of God and His greatness. My favorite chapter in the book of Revelation is chapter 4, because there you see the glory of God and how He is so much greater than Lord Caesar. Oh no, we want Lord Jesus. When I get to heaven, I want to see His majesty and His greatness. When I get to heaven, I hope that there will be a day when I can get close enough to the Lord Jesus to bow down before Him and say, "Thank you. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for wanting to be my Savior." I want to know more about the Holy Spirit. I want to know more about the apostles and the prophets. I want to see some people when I get to heaven. I want to see my teachers, Mark, Bill Jones. I want to see him again. Hugo and Raymond. When I get to heaven, I want to see Willie and meet him for the very first time. I want to see Becky again and Glenn and Elmer. I want to meet Alice. I especially want to see Oliver, who's better known as Harley, that 12-year-old boy who today would be 106. Because you see, he's the one who brought me to the gospel. That's my daddy, Harley Sanders. After I've spent a good little while talking to Dad, I want to go find a sweet lady named Lillian Flinching, who loved my people enough to teach him the truth. That's why we do what we do. Amen. And may God bless you in doing it.